Welcome to another episode of Happily Everything Disney. I'm your host, Matt, and with me is Mike.
Hey, hey, yo, yo.
And Christina's going to sit this one out, but we brought two guests. Chris, say hi to everybody.
Hello, everybody. Glad to be here.
Great to have you. And Steve.
Hi. Is this the first time you've had a double guest?
It might be. It might be the first double guest.
The substitute, yeah, the substitute's back, man.
I know, Steve the substitute's back. Remember, he was on for like a 3-episode cameo, and then he's back though now. We got him.
I'm back.
All right, so we did a, just last week, we did another down and back trip, and it kind of got set up because my wife, Adrian, is cousins with Chris, and Chris had been wanting to get down there. He hasn't been down there in a long time. And he wanted to experience Pandora and Galaxy's Edge, Toy Story Land, and some of the new stuff. And, you know, my wife gave me the blessing last year. She said, if Chris ever wants to go down, I'm okay with you doing another trip to show Chris. So, you know, I don't let, you know, the gestures like that go unfounded, right? So, I remember those things. So it was kind of a perfect time for me and Mike. We had annual passes, and I thought it was a good time to try to take the trip, and we pulled it off. It took some convincing, but for all of us, but we made it happen. We got Steve back, who also came on the trip. And, I mean, I just want to set the scene. It is really hard for us to pull this trip off. Like, we all got wives and little kids, young kids. It's hard, right? Chris is the exception. Chris can do whatever he wants. So he's got a nice, he'll be able to go do down and back as much as he wants. But for us, it's a little bit tougher. So I'm grateful we had the opportunity to pull this off. We originally were going to approach this trip way more subdued. I thought Chris experienced some of this stuff before, like Toy Story Land, but he actually didn't. So it kind of became an aggressive trip. Mike, would you agree?
Yeah, I would say that. It seems like anytime I'm down there with you, it's an aggressive trip. You know, I mean, we've only been down there twice, but pretty aggressive.
Yeah, I mean, we did try to mix in a little bit of, you know, downtime, I would say, and you'll hear that. But we did jam in 4 parks, and we're going to go through our trip report. So that's what this episode's about. And we're going to have Steve and Chris kind of chime in as Mike goes through it. We do have some funny stories to share, but I'm going to hand it over to Mike. Mike's better with the notes and kind of telling a story, I think. So, Mike, how did this kind of trip evolve? And I guess where do we start?
Yeah, so you kind of set the tone a little bit, but it was a Tuesday to Wednesday trip. Flying out of Philadelphia Airport, our flight's about 2.5 hours down to Orlando, and of course the ride over to Disney World. Our flight was very early in the morning. I believe it was 6:15, something like that. And projected return time was midnight. That Wednesday night, it's a Thursday morning. So that gives you the time frame of what we had to work with. And like Matt said, 4 parks were jamming in all in between that. So to kind of set the tone, we landed, flight took off on time. We were stuck on when we landed, there was a plane at our gate. So we lost a little bit of time, probably about a half hour. But we were able to hit the Uber right away and made great time on the road, and we got to the park, our first park, within a half hour of leaving the airport. And our first park was the zoo, right? Animal Kingdom. When we were kind of ballparking that we would get there around 11 o'clock. So the fact that we got there at 10 o'clock, we were conservative with our estimate. So we knew we were kind of ahead of the game with what we wanted to do. So the very first attraction that we did Dinosaur. And Matt, do you want me to just kind of like go just name a couple things we did and then we'll kind of talk about it from there? Does that work?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, So we are going to have a separate episode where, you know, Steve and Chris kind of share their ratings on these new rides that they experience, and some of even the old ones. Steve can kind of chime in and tell you where it sits from compared to last time. But I think that we definitely want to get their take. You know, we open with Dinosaur, you know, but first off, you know, what do you guys think? So we're walking into Animal Kingdom, and Steve, this is kind of symmetry. This is where we ended the last boys trip, right? Chris, when's the last time you were at Animal Kingdom?
Last time I was in Animal Kingdom was 2017 for my high school senior trip. Was the last time.
Do you remember, like, so Pandora wasn't there. Do you remember, like, doing Dinosaur? Like,
I do remember Dinosaur. Okay. I had a really, that was my first time on the ride in 2017. And it was great. I was just as a little bit, I forgot some things during the ride, and it was some pleasant surprises as well. And I think it's just a good ride that they have there.
Yeah, I mean, Steve, you know, we didn't do that one last time. I mean, and Mike and I are going to tell you why we kind of got that one in another ride right afterwards, or another attraction afterwards. But obviously that was the first to open up with Dinosaur. You know, I think we just did Standby, right? We didn't have a Genie Plus for it, and we waited, was it 5-10 minutes to get on the ride, right?
Yeah, well, not even. It was just a walk back. I mean, they did hold us in that little, like, holding area maybe for about a minute. Looks like we just missed that pre-show. But I think it was a posted 5-minute wait or 10-minute wait. Whatever the minimum wait is for Dinosaur that they post, that's yeah, I mean, it was just a walk on. It was great.
What was your, like, initial, I know you're going to give ratings, but what was your initial thoughts of it, you know, just to kind of open it up with that one?
I think it was a solid opener, right? Middle of the pack attraction. Let me just say one thing. Mike, you said you called it the zoo. I find it a little offensive to call it the zoo. That's, yeah, bad etiquette by you.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm just kind of repeating what the substitute said in 2022.
Bad substitute. No, I think Dinosaur was neat. I like walking in and you see the, I'm guessing it's a T-Rex, the skeleton.
I guess so, yeah. We should know that, but I don't. I think it is.
Yeah, no, that was cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like you said, it's not one of those top rides, but, you know, it's one of the middle pack. I mean, Dinosaur is, you know, so Disney does these giant, you know, conventions every year, and Dino Land is like basically on the chopping block. Any day, I mean, now they've changed their plans up a little bit, but any day that thing could be shut down, rethemed, and you know, either like demoed or rethemed. The current plan is to retheme it to Indiana Jones. But so that ride is not long for this world. I mean, I still think it will probably survive the year, but the next time you probably return to Disney World for both of you guys, that attraction won't be there. So there was another thing that I think, you know, I prioritized last December to make sure I got on at once. And I think Mike did too.
Wow. So they're going
to
get
Mike, we went from, yeah, Mike, we went to Dinosaur, right? And then where do we head over?
Yeah. So let me name the next couple attractions or shows that we've done up until lunch at this point. So Dinosaur was the first attraction. Then after that, we went over to watch the 3D show under the Tree of Life, right? Stuff to Be a Bug. Yep. And then we went and we did our Lightning Lane selection for Everest. That was when the time switched over to 11 a.m. That's when we nabbed our Lightning Lane, real time Lightning Lane for Everest. And then we timed it pretty good. As soon as we got our Everest, we went over to the show, Feathered Friends in Flight. Bird show, and that took us right before lunch. So pretty good start to the morning, you know, from 10 o'clock to about 11:50-ish, because you got a 25-minute show in there in between there as well. And timing it too, because when you're watching that 3D show, the bug show, it's all about timing. Sometimes you might just miss the show, then you got to wait, you know, 10 minutes to file in and everything, but it lined up pretty good, and you couldn't ask for a better start for what we had planned.
We also got the Buffalo chicken chips. Where's that from? Trollo Bites or something?
Trollo Bites, yes, yep.
Yeah, we got that after, I think, Dinosaur, right? Right before
after Dinosaur, that's correct, yes. Yeah.
And I think all of us enjoyed it, right? Anybody, maybe Chris, I don't remember if he tried it or not, but you guys agreed it was a pretty good snack, good opener?
Definitely satisfied my hunger. Snack.
What's that, Steve?
It was good. Yeah, it was a good snack.
It was pretty solid.
But what about Chris? What's he say about the snack?
Well,
he didn't have any.
Fortunately, I didn't try one, but they looked very good.
Yeah, so we had the snack, and like you said, we were banging things out, and it came to, you know, the Everest Lightning Lane. So we were going to pick Navi there, and Mike and I noticed that it was basically in real time. Everest was, so we as soon as we scanned into Everest, then we pivoted to Navi. There was a lot of Genie Plus strategy that we were trying to do, right? We were trying to get a combination of stand. We were trying to do a lot, right? So we needed to maximize Genie Plus. So it's tough to be a bug. I already know Steve was not impressed with the show. I'm sure he can dive more into it in the next episode. Chris, what did you think about it?
Yeah, to be honest, I actually enjoyed it. Going into it, I know I was hearing, mixed things from other folks, relatives of the three of us that went that weren't there for this trip, that maybe didn't like it, but I did get a kick out of it. I've never done it before. I thought it was a good show. I enjoyed it. Pretty cute, you know. I think for some kids, it definitely was a little frightening when the spiders came down and things, but very, very good. I enjoyed it. I didn't see it coming, so good stuff there.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, Chris. I think it's got the charming animatronics, right? And it's a unique IP. The IP's not anywhere else. And I like how Mike described it. Mike, which do you remember how you described it?
I don't, no.
Well, you said we're inside. It's, you know, what would you... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, yeah, you got the Tree of Life, right? And when you lift up a tree, what do you see underneath?
Bugs. Yeah, so I just like that. I like that aspect. It is an old, dated show, so I understand, you know, why Steve, wasn't impressed. But again, here's the thing: Steve does like shows. Am I right, Steve?
Yeah, I like shows very much. I don't care about it being dated. Think about The Carousel. Isn't that dated, Mike?
It's true. It is.
Yeah. Bug's Life is terrible. That's how I feel about it. I'm sorry.
Wait. Save your ratings. Save your ratings.
Save your ratings. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
You can give a speech.
I'm just saying, I don't care for Bug's Life. I never want to go back in that tree.
Well, so that's also on the chopping block, and they are supposed to put a Zootopia show in there.
Oh, wow.
So that's, and again, like we were talking to Scott Gustin about it, what goes first. We think it's tough to be a bug is going to go first in terms of going down, but it's hard to know. I believe that's what he said from our episode. It will be something that we're kind of watching. And then, of course, Everest is just like, you know, if you go to like old school rides, I always rank it very high. I think I like it more than Space Mountain. I absolutely love it. I just think I said it before, I feel like you're so vulnerable up at the top of the mountain. It's just, there's nothing like that. There's no other attraction at Disney, in my opinion, that you feel that way. When you go up that mountain, you do that climb.
I agree.
The animatronics. And I think it's pretty smooth. I'm really glad we got that in.
Yeah, that was definitely one of those bubble rides we had going in. You know, we were going to try to squeeze it in, but yeah, it all worked out in the morning. So after that, it was time for lunch, right? And the goal for Animal Kingdom
whoa,
was
whoa, whoa.
to
Wait, Feathered Friends and Foes.
Oh yeah, right? You want to talk about that too?
Okay. Yeah, so I only did the show one time, unless I did it in like 2008. I don't recall. I'm sure it was a different show at that time, but we did that show. We wanted, you know, Steve is a big show guy. So Mike and I tried to fit some shows in, and that was kind of convenient because it was starting then. So we wanted to get a show in before lunch, and we picked Feathered Friends in Flight. So, you know, it's the second time that I saw it. I think I was a little impressed with it last time overall, but I still really, really enjoyed it. I'm really mad that I've kind of skipped it all these years. And, you know, Chris, what did you think of Feathered Friends in Flight?
You know, that's another show I do recall at an early age. I did go to that show when I was in Disney as a kid. I believe I was around 8 years old, and I think this time around was actually, I enjoyed it even more. I do like, you know, birds very much, and I really thought I don't know what the right word is for the workers there that were, you know,
cast members,
the cast, the cast members that ran it, I thought did a great job and was very, very entertaining. But the birds were great. It was really awesome to see the bald eagle, of course. That's probably my favorite bird. And I just thought they did a really good job. It didn't feel long at all. And I just love how they incorporate the audience as well.
What about the owl, Chris?
I do love owls too. The owl was very, very cool.
It's quiet to see. Yeah, very, very quiet when it took flight.
It did. It flew right over our heads actually in that middle row, and he couldn't even hear a sound. And I love to see owls because, you know, we don't really get to see them very often here where we live. So
I hear them a lot, actually.
Yes, we do hear them, and they're very, very cool animals.
So, you know, just kind of pivoting over that, those are awesome thoughts, Chris. Steve, you know, we tried to get some shows in. It's Tough to Be a Bug was a big flop for you. Did Feathered Friends in Flights kind of win you back over on the show front?
Yeah, I'm sure most shows are really good. Feathered Friends, excellent. Oh, I can't give ratings, but no, Feathered Friends is great. How long is that? 20 minutes?
Probably,
it's a 20, right? 25 minute show.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah, it seems like
They had the stork. I think.
Yeah, the stork was cool at the end, and the talking parrots, which I believe I got different talking birds last time. I'm almost positive.
There was one bird that was flying right at me. I think I grabbed Chris's arm. It was. It was. It's a little frightening.
Yeah, they came in close. They really did, and that's what I really enjoyed. They very well trained, and it was just a great show. And I think even the kids in the audience were very, you know, very interested in the show.
You're right. You're right. It definitely hits all ages. That's a good point. All right. Good stuff. So I guess, Mike, after Feathered Friends in Flight, we headed over where?
So that's where was our lunch point, and that's where we went over to Pandora, and we had lunch there at Santoli Canteen. We placed a mobile order. We all had bowls. I think we all got chicken in our bowls. I'm not 100% Chris if you got the beef or not, but I know the chicken and like noodles for a couple of us, and some got beans, and some got. I'm not sure what you got, Steve. You may have gotten the noodles too, but I know you didn't get the balls, the boba balls in it.
Yeah, I skipped the ball. Matt, I think I just went with what Matt got.
Yeah, I held the balls for you. It's the least I could do because you didn't like the balls before. And Chris,
I don't like the balls.
Chris and I, speaking of balls, we got the Night Blossom drink, both of us, from Pongo Pongo, and brought that in. And Mike, I think. You know, while we touch at lunch, I think one thing we should talk about is how we ration water right? We kind of made this mistake last time, and I think it's a really good tip for people. Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was going to say that's a great point, Matt. I mean, we must have spent the last trip maybe like, $70 each on water. You know, we were stupid about it. We just went to different carts, just grabbed water. So what we did was we bought bottled water at the airport, and we saved our bottles. And we would fill up at different restaurants, different quick service restaurants like Santulli at the soda station. It's you just go up, you hit and you hit the water on the soda machine, and you fill up your water bottle. And that's kind of what we did throughout the trip, between that and water bottle refillable stations. Great for three of the four parks. Magic Kingdom, was a little dicey with that. I mean, with the water, tasted like water from pirates that we were drinking. But
Splash Mountain water. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That they reuse that water somehow. But overall, it's a great tip. You know, buy a bottle of water at the airport or wherever, or bring a empty bottle at home and just fill up at different restaurants where you can. And take advantage of that and save for your wallet and also save plastic for the planet.
Yeah, and they do publish the water refilling stations too, which is real helpful on the app now. They think they just literally added that like a week or two ago. But that being said, like Mike said, that not all water's the same, right? So the water at Santulli Canteen from that soda fountain, fantastic. Cold. Tasted filtered, tasted really good. We'll try to kind of come back to the water thing, but I think it's really important for people to know about it because it was something I really didn't take advantage of before. So, like I was telling before we got into the water thing, Chris and I got the Night Blossom. Chris, what did you think of the Night Blossom, that purple, I don't know, orange, greenish drink thing?
Yeah, I remember it well. It was great. It was very refreshing, something that I think we needed at the midpoint of our day for our first day there. And I thought the balls were good too. It kind of made the drink. I know it sounds weird, but they were tasty, and the drink was great. It was good with a good pairing with our lunch that we had. And you were right, Mike. I did have the chicken, and as soon as Matt mentioned the similarities between Chipotle, which ironically I had today for lunch, I was sold. So it was really great, and you could see them cook it right in front of you as you walk in, as they're cooking the chicken and the other types of protein there. I just thought it was a really good experience.
Yeah, it's like Avatar themed Chipotle, right? With a little bit of a twist, right? And then, I love it there. I think it's a very good place. I think Mike feels the same way. I think Steve last time got the cheeseburger pods and he absolutely hated them. What'd you think of the Chipotle type meal, Steve?
Comparison. It was solid. It was good. I think I was looking around at other meals and I wanted those instead.
Yeah, he wanted the cheeseburger pods. He made a comment. He's like, "What's that? What are they eating?" I was like, "That's what you had last time."
Yeah, maybe that's the case. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's good. And then Mike and I got that. It wasn't the blueberry mousse cake. It was like another dessert. You remember? I have no idea what it was called.
Oh, you guys shared the dessert.
We did. Yeah, we Lady and the Tramped it. Yeah, with the dessert. Yeah,
yeah, basically. Yeah. What was that dessert, Mike?
I'll look it up. Forget. I think it was some raspberry dish, but pretty good price. It was very good. You know, I can't complain. Definitely want to take advantage of kind of like seasonal offerings when it comes to the desserts. So I enjoyed it. I think it was a pretty good hit. And
it was $6.29. Yeah, it was the Met Cayena mousse, flourless chocolate cake, chocolate mousse, raspberry jelly, or I don't know, mango something, boba pearls, and a milk and white chocolate garnish. It was great. I thought it was great. So, but yeah, Santulli's great. And honestly, like there's part of me that says like it's a skippable, Mike, because I've done it so much. But the water station's huge. It's great water.
water station is huge, and it's a lot of seating, a lot of indoor seating, especially if it's hot out where you can sit down. Honestly, to me, it's probably the best quick service they have on Disney property, or it's arguably the top three.
Yep. Yeah, it's definitely up there. All right, so we go to afterwards. I think it's starting to time to hit our lightning lanes.
Yeah, that's correct. So before that, though, we had a good 10 minutes to kill. So we did walk around Pandora. We showed these guys the ambiance of it. You know, we took some photos of the different surroundings here. And at that point, it was time for our lightning lane for Navi River. And tell you what, four dudes on a boat ride is kind of tight. You know, we got the first row. Chris was like, should I get in with these guys? It looks like there's not enough room. And he was going to say, I'll get the next boat. But, you know, we made him, we brought him in, and all four of us, we were on it.
We kind of learned our lesson too there.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. And we took that, we learned from it, and we adapted to the next one with it. But, you know, Navi River, I guess the animatronic wasn't working. It was down early in the day, but we didn't get the actual animatronic. So it was a little disappointment that these guys didn't get to see. I know Steve saw it last time, but Chris didn't get to see the huge animatronic that really makes that attraction to me. But
yeah, we got B mode.
We did, yeah. And then
Chris, you have to Google that. Chris, you got to Google the end of Navi when you get a chance, so you could see the animatronic.
Yeah, we turned the corner. I'm sorry, Chris. We turned the corner in the river, and as soon as Matt could see, it wasn't there. He like snapped a look at Mike, like real angry.
I know.
You know it, man.
So, and then right after that, we went to Flight of Passage. Now I know, you know, we might be skipping over some of these attractions, but we are going to go into these greater details our next episode where we give their ratings. Where Steve and Chris give their ratings on it. So if we kind of like casually glance over some of these attractions, just note, stay tuned for the next episode, because we will go into a deeper dive with some of them.
The point of this though is we got immersed with Pandora, right? Like Mike said, we're trying to enjoy the ambiance of the waterfall and the floating mountains, and then we did, you know, two rides back to back. Mike and I were both concerned with, you know, getting Navi at the right time, was something that we were kind of scouting out, and we were like, we think we can do this. It wasn't our first lightning lane of the day. It wasn't our second one either. And Animal Kingdom opened at 8. And for resort guests, it was 7:30, right? So we kind of tried to put a strategy together, and we weren't sure that it was going to work. I think originally, Mike, if you remember, we had Navi for a little bit later in the day, which was kind of bugging us. But we kept doing the modified trick until one of us got the time slot we wanted.
Yeah, that's correct. I think it was 2 to 3 or 3 to 4, something like that. But I know you were pretty persistent, and it just popped up and worked in our favor.
Yep.
Right after Navi is the top tier attraction for Animal Kingdom, right? Flight of Passage. And that one we did pay for with the individual lightning lane, you know, 2-day trip. Time is limited. So you're going to have to, in order to get the nickel tour that we wanted to show Chris, we had to splurge a little bit with some of these attractions and some of the marquee ones. And that's what we did with Flight of Passage. Individual lightning lane, pretty much walked on. You do skip the queue, but I think the posted wait time was close to like 85-ish minutes, something like that. So to us, it's worth it. And from there, I'll let you guys talk about it. Matt, you want to set the tone bit more?
I was just saying, you know, real quick, there's, in my opinion, there's two great ways to get on Flight of Passage: rope drop it, right, or get on at closing. Animal Kingdom had a 6 p.m. closing, and if we got in line at 5:58 for Flight of Passage, we probably would have waited 20 to 30 minutes, and it wouldn't have cost us extra money, right? So that was something we wrestled with, but we didn't want to double hop. We don't want to start at Epcot, come to Animal Kingdom, and then go back to Epcot, because those were kind of the things that Mike and I were wrestling with. We wanted to, even though we were doing a lot, we didn't want to just run around a lot, and I know we ended up running more than I think we wanted to overall, but you know, that's kind of why we paid for the individual lightning lane. So we knew we could get on it at a specific time and to continue on with our journey. So anyway, this was the first time that Chris had a chance to do Flight of Passage. And obviously, you know, I was really curious to get his thoughts. And I know he'll probably talk about it in his ratings, but you know, Chris, like, you know, you did a bunch of rides before we got to that point. Did it kind of live up to your expectations, yes or no, overall?
Regarding the Flight of Passage, correct?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. It was arguably one of my favorite rides that I've been on. Just the overall experience. You know, I love Avatar personally. It's just one of my favorite stories. And the film always captivated me growing up. And it really, really felt like you were in that world on that ride. And it was just something you have to experience. And it was just great. I really, really enjoyed that ride. Just really felt like we were on the Banshee. And they did it so well. You know, it amazes me every time that they, you know, come up with something new and just the technology that's involved.
Yeah, and I think if my wife could hear you say that, she would smile. I mean, because that's honestly like one of the things I wanted to get down there for you to do it and experience it. And I know Steve did it, you know, in 2022 when we did the boys trip. Steve, would you say, you know, and I know we're going to get into ratings, would you say that you felt better about it or worse after doing Flight of Passage than the previous time you did it?
Well, the first time I felt like it was really good, and I think it improved. Chris, everything you said was perfect. I totally agree with everything. They make you immersed in that world. It's great. It kind of, you guys might not agree with this, but it kind of belittles Soaring for me.
It does. It does. Okay. It does hurt Soaring. It does.
No, it's great.
But you can put, we could put our mom on Soaring. I can't put her on that ride. So it's you know, it hits a different audience, right? So, but I agree in terms of a thrill ride and stuff. You know, it can't be beat from that type of simulator. Chris, I am kind of upset we didn't get through the standby queue. The standby queue for Flight of Passage is really great too. You know, but we would have had to did some double back in terms of, you know, where did we start it and things like that. So we didn't have a chance to do that. We knew we were going to finish in Epcot. So, you know, we didn't want to go to Epcot and then Animal Kingdom and then back to Epcot. It was something Mike and I wrestled with a lot. But we ultimately decided let's start with Animal Kingdom. Let's bang out as much as we can. And then we'll hop to Epcot later. So next time you go, or maybe, you know, maybe Adrian sends me again, we'll do the standby queue somehow. But we'll have to be selective about it because you could see that wait balloons 80 to 90 minutes. So that's kind of have to be strategic about it.
Yeah, it would be very cool to experience. And, you know, I was just thinking about the Flight of Passage again as we were talking. And, you know, you really do feel like you're flying. And I think that's the magic about it. And I think Pandora is really, you know, something special, and it's what really brought another, you know, a new generation of Disney goers. And I know it's just something that they really worked hard on, and the floating mountains and everything was just really something special to witness. And, you know, if I could go back and have more time, I probably would just spend more time in Pandora. Even when you're not on the, you know, attractions, it's just so cool to be there.
Yeah, that's a great point. And Mike will back me up. It's beautiful at night. It's got the bioluminescent lighting. The concrete's like stamped with some type of fluorescent chalk. I'm sorry, I'm probably butchering it, but that all lights up. The floating mountains look great. It's really a cool place, and the music is—it's got, you know, it's from the movies, from the soundtrack. It's really a great spot, and Oh, we lost Chris. Hopefully he can make it back in here. But it's an incredible land. I'm glad they did it. I'm sure they got pushback too, Mike, you could argue it's not Animal Kingdom ish, but obviously the message of, you know, conservation flows with that story. So, and we do got Chris back, which is good.
Sorry, I don't know what happened there.
All right,
just froze.
Yeah, sorry, Chris. About that. Just in time for because we're hopping over to Epcot now.
Oh, awesome! My favorite.
At that point, yeah. At that point, we did everything we wanted to do at Animal Kingdom. I think it was around like 2 o'clock-ish, I'm going to say. And that's where we hopped over to Epcot. And we took a bus. We didn't wait long for the bus, maybe a couple minutes, no more than 5 minutes, I don't think. I don't have the exact time. But we took the bus. Bus was only like a 10-minute ride to Epcot. And from there, we went to our first Lightning Lane that we had, which was Soarin'. I'm gonna just go over these a couple attractions, and then we can kind of discuss from there.
Sure.
We had our Lightning Lane for Soarin'. We did an individual Lightning Lane for Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. We had some tasty beverages at Club Cool. We stood in line at Test Track. It broke down, but we hopped out of line and we did Spaceship Earth, and then from there we did Lightning Lane for Frozen Ever After. So, couple lightning lanes in there, individual lightning lane. Matt, what do you want to talk about first?
Yeah, I mean, so obviously we did some double back in here, you know, at Epcot, which it wasn't the cleanest, but we kind of had to take, I like to say, like when you're playing football or another sport, you take what the defense gives you. And, you know, we were trying to optimize time and lightning lanes. So we, I think we were talking about doing Spaceship Earth at first, but then we kind of got it made sense to do Soarin' because we saw the Spaceship Earth didn't have a wait, and you know we did try to get the virtual queue for Guardians in the morning. It didn't work out, which it was a good to go day, right? Which meant that anybody could try to get Guardians or Tron virtual queue. We did try to get that. We did it by proxy. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get it because we were in the air and we flew Frontier, and Frontier they don't even have like pay Wi-Fi. Like it's, you know, like Mike said, like you're kind of on the wing and you're just, you know, you're just happy when you land with Frontier. But, you know, and obviously the flight was fine, but, you know, it was, you know, very reasonable flight. So it worked out well. But anyway, back to Epcot, did Soarin'. And you know, doing Soarin' after Flight of Passage feels like it's tough, right? Like I would never recommend doing that, you know, just doing those lightning lanes back to back. But I knew that, again, we didn't have a ton of time. Soarin' did just change back to Soarin' Around the World, where it was Soarin' over California for a while. Which was the last one that I did. Mike, when you were there, did it switch back?
So, no, it was Soarin' over California when I was there in early February. I think it switched back February 27th.
Yeah, so it just switched back. So I was kind of excited to do it again. Of course, they didn't change the ending. But again, I felt like it's a better ride kind of with my parents. But, you know, we pivoted to Guardians. Again, we didn't get the virtual queue, so we had to make the decision to buy it. And Guardians, you know, I guess, you know, I'm not a giant Marvel fan. I do respect, you know, I've watched some of the movies and I totally like the characters. I think they're great. And so I'm not anti-Guardians. But obviously you guys know how I feel and how Mike feels about the attraction. I did make a recommendation when we were there. I asked a cast member to get Steve and Chris on row one so they could kind of experience it. And, you know, I'm always curious to see what song we got. We got Disco Inferno. So I want to pivot over, you know, we'll go to Steve first. And again, I know Steve's going to hold back a little bit with his ratings. But, you know, a lot of people complained about, you know, dizziness issues. And I was kind of concerned for you with that. Did you have any dizziness issues at all?
It's funny. I always get the dizziness issues on Soarin'. Which makes no sense. They just lift you up, right? They tilt you a little bit. I always come off that ride a little queasy. But no, Guardians, no. No issue. And like you said, you didn't say this, but I don't like the movies at all. But they do such a phenomenal job of, it's like the exact spirit of the movies is that ride. So they do a great job. No, I didn't. I wasn't dizzy at all. What about?
Did it make you,
Chris? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, does it make you want to like maybe go back and rewatch the movie and give it another shot?
Okay. I'm not a fan of the movies, but that ride's great. I can't give ratings, but
yeah,
it was Chris. It was really good.
Yeah. So this ride definitely was awesome, and I think it is my favorite. That I experienced on this trip. And, you know, personally, of course, I'm a huge Marvel fan. I do love the Guardians of the Galaxy, and I love the characters that are in it. I think that's what makes it special. And the ride was just amazing. Everything that they did in the ride just felt like it was in that world. Even from watching the movies, but the ride itself was very unique. I loved the direction and the pace of the ride, and it was a blast. I think the length of it, you know, I know we'll talk about Tron later on, but I think the length of it was also, you know, pretty much perfect. Of course, I wish every ride I love was longer, but they just did a great job, and it felt like you were watching, you know, a mini episode or a couple scenes from, you know, possibly a movie they were, you know, making, or a storyline that they were making. It just felt like we were a part of that. I thought the story was great, you know, along the ride. And I didn't know until after the ride that the music does change up. I know Mike had mentioned that to me, but, you know, the music, I think, played a great part in it, because that's all Guardians. And I really couldn't think of another way for that ride to be. I think it's almost perfection in terms of a Guardians of the Galaxy ride.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple things they could do. I think adding an animatronic or two would really push it to the next level. But the way they utilize screens is amazing. I think it's a super smooth roller coaster. Like we talked about Everest. Everest is pretty smooth. This is way smoother. This is 10 out of 10 smooth, in my opinion.
I agree.
You barely feel like you're moving, you know, but you feel like you're moving, but you don't, if that makes sense, because it's just really smooth. And, you know, how about, like, talk about sitting in the first row. I guess you can't compare it to sitting in the second row, but
it definitely enhanced.
The leader, you know?
Yeah, it definitely enhanced the experience, at least for myself. I know Steve was with me, and so I'm not sure how what he thought of being in the front, but it was just an awesome opportunity, and I just had a great, great experience. I was smiling the whole way and laughing throughout. You know, that's just what the Guardians will do to you. But just the movement of the ride, everything about it, just was a great experience. And I wish I could ride it multiple times. You know, that's how good of a ride it is.
I felt really bad. You kept saying it, like, is it when we get back on Guardians? I'm like, man, I'm like, no.
I know.
Like, and I was trying to get creative. I was trying to get creative the second day. I was even talking to Mike, but it would have been hard because we weren't going back to Epcot. But we did kind of kick it around. It was hard. But yes, Guardians is awesome. You know, one thing I would recommend to you, they have this event. It's called Epcot After Hours. And they actually turn the standby line on, which basically that means once the event starts, you can ride Guardians as much as you want. So you could probably get it on the ride 5 to 10 times in one night if you really just focused on it. You know, you definitely might want to look into that if you ever want to do it down and back by yourself. You know, that's one thing you could do to really get on the ride a ton. But yes, Guardians is a difference maker for sure at Epcot. So I know we spent a lot of time there. Mike, do you want to keep going?
Yeah, no, just to kind of recap, yeah. So after that, we did Club Cool, Spaceship Earth, Frozen, and then Matt, I know you got an IPA beer at one of the kiosks. Yeah, beer was great. Yeah. I think right after the China Pavilion.
Yeah, shout out to the Mammoth Club. They're the ones that kind of talked about it. It's called like the Fruit Punch IPA. You know, usually I think IPAs are too, you know, bitter for me. This beer was sensational. It was awesome. Again, maybe my regret is, and it was the only drink I had for both of those days. I definitely would have liked to have another drink like that. That was a great drink. So, you know, so much that I let my dad know just in case he's down there to grab it. I think it was near the African.
Where you did the drummer things. Yeah,
exactly. So, that was really good. And of course, like you said, we did Club Cool, which was pretty fun. We were all trying the sample and the sodas, and that's just a fun experience to do that. Like you said, we got into Test Track. We did the single rider, and obviously that broke down. So we made a call. We went to Spaceship Earth, hit standby there. That's one of Steve's favorites, and you know what? That's kind of just that feels Epcot to me, right? You got to get that in. And I did nab the Frozen Ever After Lightning Lane. So Mike and I know we were trying to get Frozen or Test Track pretty hard, but we kind of prioritized Frozen. And Mike, do we want to talk about the drops? Like, so there was some rumor that, you know, not rumors, but there was some information online that said additional Genie Plus capacity gets dropped at a couple times throughout the night. So we were trying to monitor that. I forget what time it was. It might have been 5 and then 6 o'clock. So something like that. Mike, does that sound right? It's something maybe.
The site said that Frozen and Test Track do drops at 1 o'clock. I think 3 o'clock, and Test Track was 3:30. And then Frozen does their last drop at 5 or 5:30, something like that. So we were kind of just watching it, refreshing the app like a hawk, and sure enough, a drop did occur, and we were able to modify our Spaceship Earth Lightning Lane to Frozen.
Pretty funny. Who went to go tap in?
It was me. I was tapping in. I was like, "What's not working? What's going on?" And then you're like, "I just got frozen." I was like,
"I literally modified it." And actually, so the first time that they were supposed to drop online, whatever time it was, neither of them dropped. But then both of them dropped, and we were about 20 minutes short from being able to pick our next lightning lane. So I was hoping I was going to get Test Track and Frozen in a 20-minute span. It didn't work out. But I did get Frozen. Again, four dudes doing Frozen. You know, you think you prioritize Test Track. But because Test Track has single rider, I felt like it was the more valuable Lightning Lane grab. We did Frozen, the four of us. I think Steve got some video for his daughters, right, Steve?
Oh, but I'm sorry. What'd you say?
Frozen Ever After. You got some footage.
I filmed the whole thing. Yeah,
that's a very sentimental ride to me, because that was like the first one that we did as a family kind of down there to really start my Disney journey with my fam. So it was good to see that Steve could take home, you know, a little bit of that for his kids. So after the beer, which followed Frozen, we went to Morocco, and we went to Tangerine Cafe, Mike, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And we split flatbreads, myself, you, and Steve. I think Chris was kind of stuffed from his night blossom and his Santoli canteen. Yeah.
The flatbread was pretty good. I don't think it was like epic, but I enjoyed it. I would get it again. A matter of fact, Mike, the thing I keep hearing that's awesome down there is that the orange cake that we didn't get. So kind of a bummer there, but it was pretty good. Steve, what'd you think of the flatbread?
I liked it a lot.
There you go.
I mean, it wasn't expensive. Well, I think it's $6, it was right? $6.
Yeah,
and
ended up being
$3
when we split it. Yeah.
And then after that, Mike, you want to pick up from there?
Yeah. So we were working our way around World Showcase, kind of looking at the sites. But then we were also moving a little bit because we had a Lightning Lane to make, and that was our very first Lightning Lane selection. Shout out to Mark and my wife for Mark nabbing it, and then my wife modifying it to the time that we wanted, and it was Ratatouille, right? Where we got to enjoy the sights, the sounds, the smells of the attraction in France. And I'll go on a little bit more if that's okay with some things, and then we'll kind of recap. Ahead. So then we did Remy's, and then we got off, and it was around dinner time. We're kind of getting a little bit more hungry with things. So we this is where we split up. We divided and conquered. So Matt and Steve, they got the fish and chips. Myself and Chris, we got the buffalo chicken poutine, which is a plant-based option for Flower and Garden that was at the refreshment port right outside of Canada. And then what we met up, we found a table. And then from there, we also split up again, where Chris and Steve stayed at the table. Myself, I went to get the violet lemonade for myself and Matt. And Matt went to get the chicken and waffles for a couple of us. And actually on cauliflower too. From there. And then we just kind of like shared our portions and we ate. Out of all the things that we ate at that table with all these options, I thought the buffalo poutine was probably the best of the bunch there. The violet lemonade was very good.
They were tater tots too. They were tater tots, you know? So I agree. I was kind of an underrated gem. I really enjoyed that. Mike, also shout out to you for getting that table. We had like a table, I guess, kind of near the between the UK pavilion and I guess I'm trying to think. It was around UK, right, Mike?
No, it was outside of Canada. Canada and almost like the entry of
that's right. That's right. You're right. It was more centered. You're right. That was a great spot, though. I mean, it was right on.
Chris,
that would have been a good spot to watch Luminous.
Yeah, Chris, tell him what I did when I saw that table.
The table.
Do you remember? We got the poutine, and then like I saw the table, and then in the corner of my eye. Yeah,
we had some, you know, others that were trying to get the table, but Mike, you know, found his way there quickly and cut him off, but we got it.
That's awesome.
Well, I was the bulldog, right? The pit bull,
yep.
Right?
You got to be the bulldog.
You cut off two children trying to get to the table. No.
Yeah.
The lesson learned.
So, exactly. So,
I think Steve was about to go to chime in there too, Matt, real quick.
No, yeah. I said that's classic Mike. Being first and, cutting people off in a good way. It's not bad.
Well, not. You know, not cutting like old ladies or you know anything like that.
Oh, you would,
but no.
So Steve, talk about the fish and chips again, because that was something that you got 2 years ago. Yeah. You got it again.
I love fish and chips. That's I'll probably always get it when I'm there.
That's the best one. I mean, honestly, those fish and chips are amazing. We got it at the stand. My mind went blank. What the heck's it called? It's in UK, Yorkshire shop or whatever it is. That's and sometimes they give you two fish. This time they gave us just one long one.
Yeah, so one giant one.
So Steve was trying to share a little bit. It was tough to share, but I did get some of it. Very tasty, very crispy, really good fish. Not fishy at all. It's really a strong fish. I know Mike's not a fish guy, but that's one thing you might want to try at some point, Mike.
Yeah, sounds good.
And then we got the chicken and waffle. Yeah, the violet lemonade was great, right?
Yeah, violet lemonade was really, really good. Probably the best thing. Well, up there is one of the best things between that and the poutine. And then, like you said, the chicken and waffle and the seasoned cauliflower at the Honey Bistro Flower Garden booth. And the waffle itself was good, in my opinion. The chicken, it was okay. A cauliflower, that dish, again, I'm not a huge cauliflower person, but it was seasoned really well. And because of all the seasons and everything, I thought it was above average, I would say, for cauliflower.
Yeah. I mean, so Chris and Steve, you're not going to know this, but so Epcot does these festival booths. They run four booths, four festivals a year, and they rotate the food out. So we were, at the Flower and Garden Festival, obviously. And you know, you probably saw like all the topiaries and the flowers. Like it, Epcot looks gorgeous, right? It's really nice. They actually did a new effect that I don't think we caught, Mike, which was with Dante. I know we saw him at the Coco thing, but now they were using the same, you know, projection technology they do on Cinderella Castle to make it look, you know, alive and stuff. I didn't catch that. I wish I did. Didn't resonate, but you know, so these food booths become like kind of a thing. You know, people just go down there and they make a special trip just to try the different booths. You know, when I was there last, it was Festival of the Holidays. I think Mike was at Festival of the Arts. So it's kind of fun to look up, you know, the different booths and figure out, you know, which ones you want to hit. You know, in addition to that, Epcot's got restaurants at all the pavilions too. So it kind of competes a little bit with that. But it makes it fun because it's each time's a little bit unique. So those things that we got, you know, they're not going to be at the next festival. So, you know, Mike and I were kind of handpicking some of the things that we heard that sounded good and went with them. So, but there was a million more we could have tried. You agree, Mike?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, there's so much that I mean, I have written down in my notes to try, but, you know, there's only so much that we can put in our stomachs. And obviously, we're giving Chris the nickel tour.
Yep, the nickel tour.
All right, so the nickel tour, you better believe it. And then, so after that, Mike, I think...
Yeah, so continuing with the nickel tour, we did the Journey of Water, the walkthrough. We did single rider test track. Then we made our way back to that area, to the land, and we did Awesome Planet. And we got some dessert at Le Horizon de Glace.
All of us did. Well, I think Chris skipped.
Chris sat that one out. Chris was feeling all the food that point, so I think he elected to skip the dessert there. And then we did Luminous as our nighttime show. That's how we wrapped up the night. So Matt, why don't we start back to the land area right outside the land with Journey of Water?
Yeah, we wanted to do that walkthrough. I know Steve has seen some clips of our dad kind of playing with the water and stuff like that. And, you know, we had me and dad had a really fun time with that, you know, high five in the water and in the water curtain and stuff. I could tell you weren't really super impressed with it though, right, Steve?
I wasn't. You know, I feel bad. Sorry.
It's a walkthrough.
It wasn't for me.
I'm interested to hear that rating on the next episode. So,
it's not high.
Yeah, I think it's something that maybe your kids would probably enjoy more. You know, interacting with the water and stuff like that too. And obviously, the Tahiti statue is pretty cool. And there's you could take a lot of good pictures there with Spaceship Earth in the background. But I'll stop defending it. Chris, what'd you think of Journey of Water?
The Journey of Water, I really enjoyed, and that was kind of like the walkthrough attraction, right, Matt?
Yep.
Yeah, I had a good time.
With the water cycle.
I had a good time because it was different, you know, and I think Moana deserved an attraction. Obviously, you know, I do want to say I didn't watch the film yet, but I know of it, of course, and all the praise that it received. So it was definitely worth an attraction. I know that a lot of the little kids were really enjoying it. You know, there was a couple in their swim gear. So it was cool to see. And, you know, I enjoyed, you know, playing with the water, the cool stuff that they thought of for that attraction.
Yeah, I agree. So we made our way over and did test track single rider. And it was funny. So when we got in line for test track the first time, and we kind of struck out because it was like just wasn't moving the single rider, and we abandoned ship. They even said they were running, I think, on reduced capacity. So when we went, it was something that Chris was like, man, Chris loves cars, right? So he kind of said, man, I would really like to get back there. And when he said that, like Mike and I kind of wanted to do that anyway, but we're trying to prioritize getting back for Chris because I guess you never did it before, Chris.
No, that was my first time.
Yeah, so what'd you think of it?
You know, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I'm sure like it kind of lost points a little bit because a lot of it, we didn't do it together. But yeah, no, and we missed, you know, you could customize a car before going out if you're not doing single riders. And, you're kind of simulating the car that you made versus other people that made their cars. Obviously, you get the same experience, but it tells you what car would win each individual simulation that it puts itself through. So we kind of did miss that part, but you got the fun part of the ride, which is the ride itself. So we were glad to get that in. And then we went over to Awesome Planet. So that was kind of something that we earmarked. Again, we wanted to do shows. We had a few in consideration. We had that, we had the Canada show that we were thinking about, Impressions de France, the China show, you know. So we had a few shows, but we kind of felt like we needed to pick one, and we knew Steve's a big science guy, so we wanted to do Awesome Planet. And I think we just missed it before, right, Mike? We were nervous. We weren't going to get on the Guardians, Individual Lightning, whatever it was. Like, we decided needed to go over. So we did it the double back for it, which kind of stunk. And we'll kind of wait for Steve to give his rankings on that one. We went to Les Artisans de Glace. And we,
the Artisans de Glace?
Yeah. Steve, Mike, and I got the Croque Glaces. Is that how you say it, Mike?
I don't know if it's glace or glacé. Glacé, you know, what that squiggly, how you say it itself. But it's the brioche bun, and they put a scoop of ice cream of your choice. And if you want a sauce, they'll put like a caramel or a fudge sauce. And if you're lucky, they'll do it with a Mickey, you know, depending on the cast member there. And then they put it on a warm press, and then they serve it to you after a couple seconds on the warm press.
Yeah. The first time I had it, I was not impressed. I felt like my brioche bread was not warm enough. Maybe it wasn't even buttered, but I really enjoyed it. So it was a good recommendation by Mike. Mike said he was down on it the last couple times. Mike, how did you feel about it?
I thought it was good. I definitely don't think it was as good as the first time we had it. Maybe because that was the very first time, but it was, you know, the way they had it, the bread wasn't as dry. I thought a good mix with the ice cream and the caramel ratio that I got on mine, and just enough time on the warm press and it all mixed well.
Very good. So, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Mike. I think it is. It's very good. It's unique. It's not phenomenal, but it's good. It's good, and I'm glad. The uniqueness is what makes it, right? I mean, because I could have just got an ice cream cone, but that's they press it. It's good.
You know, they draw a little Mickey with the caramel sauce. You know, you
can't. I was very, very lucky. I got the Mickey.
Yeah, and the ice cream flavor was good too. I forget, it was like a cinnamon flavor or something. It was really good. So I came away feeling pretty good about it. So then after we got out of there, I was probably what, Mike, 8:40 maybe?
Close to that 8:40, 45-ish. And right, we wanted to get a good spot for Luminous. And Matt was on a mission to get
the
perfect spot for us.
Yeah, so
and me
I
and Chris
saw
we're dragging behind it.
I know.
On the border of irate that we were walking around the whole world again. But go ahead.
Yeah. So the last two times that I saw Luminous was the only two times. I saw it from France area, and I didn't want to see it from there again. So I was kind of on a quest to see it in a different spot, and I wanted to have Spaceship Earth in the background because I knew that it got involved in the show. And I saw spoilers of it, but I still wanted to see it as part of the show. So we started to move, and then, you know, I'm kind of spying the areas, and I'm like, yeah, this looks good, you know, in Japan, but there's a lot of trees. Americans got the theater, you know, and it's like, we keep going, and it's like, okay, I've heard Italy's good. I think Jason mentioned it from DBC Pod. Now, Italy does kind of a weird thing. It's got like the landing that goes out, but the nice thing is, especially when you're traveling as adults, right, is that you don't need to get that front row for your kids, right? You can kind of just step back a little bit and just lean back, and you can see everything you need to do. So we didn't even have to crowd anybody. We just kind of got into a spot, and we saw Luminous. When you see it from Italy, there is absolutely no trees. I will give credit to Mike. He did spy Japan. We actually went up the stairs, which was rough because we were tired. We went up the stairs. to see if we could see it from there. But there was people in that spot, and I felt like we would get some, you know, again, to get like a real nice view of the show. I'm not talking your fourth or fifth view, but to get a real nice view, especially for Steve and Chris who didn't see it, I wanted them to have a nice view of it. So I didn't want to take like kind of a sloppy seconds view of Luminous. I wanted them to experience it. So they kind of, you know, I kind of made Steve walk some extra steps, but I did it because I wanted him to get a good viewing angle of the show. And I was really happy with it. Even though we were probably 10 rows back, we still had enough depth between the 10th row and us to see the show pretty spot on. So I'm going to go to, Chris first. Chris, what'd you think of Luminous? Yeah, you know, I think we lost Steve here, so I'll just delay a second here. Hopefully he comes on. But yeah, it looks like he's back. Chris, that was really well said. I mean, and that's exactly why, like, Mike and I have a podcast. Because, like, the Disney differences in that show, it's there's nothing quite like it. We lost Steve again. But it's just the sum of all parts, you know, the music, the lighting, the pyro, you know, the start at the finish, you know, there's a nice Walt moment in the beginning, you know, where Walt even says, welcome, just things like that, man. It gives me goosebumps. And I know it's the show's not for everybody. I know there's some people that, you know, really love the Illuminations and, you know, I saw Illuminations a long time ago. It didn't resonate. I didn't. My fandom didn't really kick in until, you know, kind of, you know, 2018 when I started really going on a regular basis. So I don't have the nostalgia to Illuminations, but, you know, saw Harmonious. Loved the show. That was a show in between. You know, if you're not counting Epcot Forever, and I really like that show. But this show tells a story. It's got a narration and a purpose. And honestly, I get, you know, teared up when I'm watching the show. I think it's just an outstanding show. So hopefully Steve gets back on and he can talk about it. But I think you hit it home. I mean, and Mike, this is the second time you saw it. I know you really loved it the first time. Did it live up to the expectations the second time?
Yeah, I definitely agree with it. And it was nice seeing it, with the vantage point of seeing Spaceship Earth in the background and seeing it from a different spot. Of the park. And like you said, you pretty much said everything that I just want to reiterate, like the storytelling of it. It's got the wow factor with some fireworks, the fountains shooting up with different colors, you know, how the whole World Showcase lights up as part of the story. It just has everything. And it's definitely my wife and I's favorite show. In all of Disney World, probably that we've ever saw. It was just such a great show, great storytelling. The effects of the fireworks at the end, especially the music too, that hits home as well. Really, really enjoy it. Second time around, felt the same way. Glad we it was worth the trek. You know, going out there and we were worried too because the weather was looking a little iffy, but we got it in. No issues with the rain or anything like that. We did see some lightning, but all in all, great day and even better ending with the night with the Luminous.
So it seems like we constantly have, you know, technical challenges on this podcast, but we got Steve back. Steve, we talked about Luminous and how much we loved it. What did you think of it?
Luminous is fantastic. I mean, like we said, we walked around the whole world to get to this spot. And I got to take your word for it that it's better to see it from Italy. And it was great. Like you said, there was a lot of people in front of us. We took probably 15 steps back. You know, like, so we had a gap and it was fine. I thought it was fine. The show's great. The music doesn't get me like it gets you, and it sounded like it got Chris. It's not bad or anything. It's just not something I noticed. I just like the fireworks. You know, the different kinds. The ones that are so bright. Very impressive. And then the one that is like a, I don't know what it, it's like a machine gun thing. It's firing out all the ones from the center, I guess. Is it the barge out there?
Barge. Yeah.
It's a great show. I mean, that's the bottom line. It's phenomenal. I know the heart really gets you. I was really impressed with the heart or the hearts. But yeah, great show. And it always feels like, well, always. Is this the same show I saw 2 years ago or no?
No, that was Harmonious.
Okay, well, even with that one, it feels like it's a half hour or something. But what, it's like 12 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, it's not that long. I mean, I think it's 18 or something.
Yeah, it's it was 18. Well, no matter what it was, it's like it's got to be the best thing you can do there. I mean, maybe that's not true.
Oh, no, but that's how I feel. I feel like the nighttime spectaculars are the most important thing to me. Yeah, you know, I'm definitely more of a sensitive guy. But it hits me. I mean, I love the music. And, you know, before the trip, you know, Mike and I went back and forth and we said, you know, we got to get a nighttime show. And it was between that and probably Happily Ever After, which is one of my all-time favorite shows as well. But I just thought this was a better show for, you know, for four dudes. And, you know, I'm glad that we made that call. So do you remember liking Harmonious, or did you feel like you liked this more, or kind of tough to tell?
I would say that this one, I would pick this one, but it's been 2 years, so I can't remember everything. But I remember that being impressive as well. That was more like the anniversary kind of thing, right? With all the barges and...
Yeah, that was kind of more... like a lot of people didn't like that it was just IP and all IP, where this one, it has IP mixed in, but there's a story, you know, there's a narrator that really goes through, you know, life and, you know, relationships, friendships, you know, death, you know, coming out on the other side, and then kind of just everybody being united, you know. So you know, where Harmonious was just kind of music and different, you know, dialects and languages, still entertaining in my opinion, but I felt like this show connected me more overall. So as you can probably tell, we had a lot of technical challenges during our recording. I did get Chris's take on Luminous right after it aired. We actually did record it here, but with the audio wasn't captured. But this gives you kind of his first impression of it, and he was glowing about it. He loved it. So anyway, just wanted to share that. That was Chris's take. And now we're going to go back to our recording. First off, where do we stay? What do we do after Luminous?
Yeah, because we're not staying with our families, you know, all we just really need is a bed to sleep. So we're looking for the best value. And where are you going to stay? We're looking for a value at a value resort. And that's where we stayed at a, what was it, a one-bedroom suite at Art Animation that sleeps six? Family suite, okay. Yeah, so we had a nice room that had a two beds and a pull-out couch. So definitely a lot of room for – and two full baths, which was huge when you have four guys staying in. You know, we kind of need our own bath time and our, you know, kind of like the bed situation. There's a lot of room for us to sleep in and everything. And you couldn't ask for, I think, a better situation with that. We definitely got our money's worth with the hotel. The reason why we also picked this one was because of the skyline of transportation. You know, we knew we were going to end at Epcot, and we knew we were going to start our next day at Hollywood Studios. And, you know, as you, I'm sure you guys know, that Skyliner is a selling point for pop and art animation, transportation wise. And it was really nice taking the Skyliner back from Epcot, just a relaxing ride on the way back, kind of taking it in with the different sites of World Showcase, Epcot, and making our way back and kind of pointing things out to Chris and Steve about things as we're going by.
So basically, the Skyliner was a huge success for us. It got us back to Art of Animation pretty quickly. We were happy with it. We got to our room. We were pretty exhausted. All of us were exhausted. But we got to it. Everything worked. And, you know, we showered up and, you know, called it a night and got ready for the next day. So I think let's take a break here and we'll come back next week for part two so you can hear almost like the meat of the trip, because now we're talking about conquering stuff that Chris really wanted to get to. So let's come back. We'll come back next week. We won't do every other week for this one. We appreciate you listening to another episode of Happily Everything Disney.